IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
It's been a couple of weeks. We're sorry we missed recording last week. We rarely do that because it's our best time to communicate with each other. It's the one time we know we're going to just have each other's attention for a full half hour.
That's true. And we're grateful to our producer, James, who put on a different show, and we're not even sure.
We don't even know if he did.
But thank you, James.
Yeah, we don't care.
He's so great to work with.
James Finlayson, if you run into him, that's our man.
He is. So anyway, we have a good excuse for not doing last week, and that was that you were in Iceland.
Yeah, and so we want to talk a little about that today. Not about Iceland, although that may creep into the conversation, but about something we have strange names for a lot of things. Some of you know us kind of are aware of that. It probably bugs you in some ways, but I have a thing that I call F and FFE. And it stands for Fathers and Future Fathers of Iyer Realm.
And you have that because for many years I had the M and MFME.
Yes, you started that crazy thing.
Mothers and Future Mothers of Iyer Realm. So this is fun.
To explain what it is, Linda, because people are dying to know.
Well, ever since our children started having children, our women in our family, we have gathered once a year at least to just talk about motherhood and talk about life and how we are and how are things going and so on. And we've been, at first, a lot of the girls that came into the family, of course, didn't have children. They were brand new to the family, and it was a fun way to introduce them to the family. I hope they weren't too overwhelmed.
So just to clarify, you're talking about you, your daughters, and your daughters-in-law.
Right, exactly.
As mothers and future mothers of Iyer Realm. What's the first time you ever gathered? Do you remember the very first one?
Yes, for sure. We were in Washington, D.C. It was before we had any in-laws even. Our older girls were married.
Oh.
And so we did that. Oh gosh, we had so much fun. One of them was living in D.C. We did one in New York City when somebody was living there, and we crammed into their little apartment in New York City and had a great time.
So it's grown over the years, but it's always the constancy of it is, it's you, your daughters, and your daughters-in-law, and you're gathering not only to just have a good time, which I'm sure happens, but to discuss parenting and motherhood and share experiences and share ideas.
Right. We always had a book that we read together, and then we talked. Our favorite probably was Gifts from the Sea by Anne Morrell Lindbergh.
Oh, yeah.
We still refer to that all the time because it's such a fabulous book for mothers and for thinking and creating as mothers. And it really has been such an inspiration. We got a daughter-in-law at the end, actually, from Switzerland. So we went there. We were probably even doing this then. And so we could go back and hear that. But they were living in New York City, both of them, and got married and lived there for a while. And then they moved to Switzerland. And they're still there. You've heard a lot about that if you've been on the podcast quite a lot, but anyway,
so
we all met in Switzerland. She was our guided tour. That might have been the best one.
Well, so M and MFE is really like 30 years old or close to it.
Yeah,
that's when our first daughter got married, right? So
yeah,
so for 30 years, and you haven't met every single year, but you've had a lot of great experiences. Now for listeners who say, wow, is that maybe why, let me embarrass you a little. I happen to know that Linda's daughters-in-law think of her as their mother, as their second mother.
And I happen
to know that Linda thinks of them as her daughters. Do you ascribe this gathering you've done as one reason that all those women like each other, even love each other? I mean, how have you done that?
Well, oh no, we happen to have a really great group of women who are so varied that it's amazing that they love each other so much. It really is remarkable. But, you know, I just feel like they are so much a part of our family, especially these in-laws as they came in, even though they came from different backgrounds and different families, and we always make it, you know, we are always very aware of that. We
don't
want to suck them in like, okay, now there's nothing else, because half of their life belongs to another family. But it really is so good to really get together and talk about things that are important, especially motherhood.
So you'd say it's been, over these many years, it's been worth the time and the expense to get these women together.
Yeah, I do have to add this little thing. And that is that we've never had an overabundance of money.
No, we've never felt, gosh, we have too much money.
Right.
We've never experienced
that. What should we do with all this money? But when my parents died, they left their little house. And my dad had a little farm and left some money. And just make a long story short, I took my half. My sister and I were the only ones living. We had a brother who passed away. But anyway, I took my half and put it right in Apple like 40 years ago.
And not quite 40, but a long time
we
ago.
We have been really happy with that until lately. And then that. But it really has made it so that
that's the money you've
that's
used.
That's the money
these,
that we're using
gatherings.
For these gatherings, and it makes. I mean, they just don't have a lot of money when they're little and when they're young and have young families and so on. And so, I do pay for their airfare and for a place to stay, and they help with the food, and it's really.
So,
great.
How many members are there in this mythical M and? It's you've shortened the name now since all
just
of them
Emmy.
Are
they're
mothers,
all mothers now.
Mothers
yeah.
of IRM. And how many members are there?
There are four daughters and four daughters-in-law.
Plus you.
Plus me. Nine.
Nine of you. That's the magnificent nine, I'd say. Once in a while, if they're close, I kind of invite myself for one little dinner or one little lunch, just because I love the feminine energy that comes from that.
He sneaks in. We all went
in.
To California, to Laguna Beach. And he shows up at lunch.
Well,
he
just came
can't
to one
lunch.
I didn't try to, you know, overstay my welcome.
You were great.
I just love that feminine energy. It surrounds me. I feel empowered.
Yeah, that was fun.
Now, as you say, that was your idea, as so many things are that we do, honey. But I then started almost as long ago, F and FFE, Fathers and Future Fathers of IRM, and I have 10 members, one more than you, only because we have one son who isn't married. So when he does marry, and if, you will then have 10 members as well.
Right.
But we tend to gather, and maybe you'd call it a little more adventuresome settings, although you've had a lot of adventures. You went paragliding in Switzerland for crying
out
loud.
Yeah, we had a grand time.
But we've done scuba diving trips. We've done Harley rides. We've done, one of our best ones was a long horseback ride on some horses that were good and some that weren't so good, all the way down through Zion's Park, where it took two long days of riding, and it was great. And we just got so many memories from these, and that brings us back to Iceland, right?
Right, except that this is a group of just your sons.
Yes, that's true. That is an important point. Occasionally, each of us will go just with our own sons, not to exclude the son-in-laws, but just because it's a little different chemistry when you're with your own offspring, those that you've been their dad for their whole lives.
Yeah,
right?
Especially the dynamics of men and, you know, coming in from different families and being.
You've done
to
some
their
with
families.
Just your daughters too.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, we like to think of the son-in-laws. We don't even like the word in-laws. We like in love.
Yeah.
The in-loves. But they're great. And so we did this trip to Iceland. About every 5 years, I tried to do one just with the boys. And 5 years ago, we went to Alaska and went halibut fishing. And again, don't say, oh, wow, where's all the money coming from? Well, with saving, it's budgeting. And we And we try not to do things that are terribly expensive, and we got some kids that are really good at finding cheap airfares, let me just say it.
Yeah, they're in they're charge of their own flight.
And so, but, you know, we caught enough halibut. We just last week cooked the last of that halibut that we caught. Well, they flash freeze it.
They do, and they're shrink-wrapped. Yeah, honestly, it was just as good as the first one, but anyway.
And so since then, our own sons have been saying, well, you know, when's the next trip? And they've been focused on Iceland, partly because so many of them are photographers, and apparently, well, obviously now to me, because I'd never been, you know, and a couple of them had been, and it is just an incredible place. I don't want to make this a travel log, but I know Iceland's on a lot of your bucket lists, and keep it on there because, well, for one thing, it's, you know this probably, Linda, but it's the newest landmass on the planet. I mean, it's forming still, and there's geysers, and there's waterfalls, and there's volcanoes, and there's hot pots all over the island. It's like it's alive, and you can't go very far without, you know, saying, hey, especially when you're with my boys, you can't go very far before they're saying, hey, we're about due for another hot tub. We got our suits. Let's stop. Let's go in that one. And we had a great time. And the nice thing about it is we found a car big enough to handle all six of us. And so, well, and it was a pretty quiet car. And so talking. And I don't know if women are the, I know men and women are a little different in groups, the way they communicate. I think men talk when they're on their way somewhere. Women, I think, am I oversimplifying? Women can sit down, look each other in the eye face to face, have a conversation. Guys often talk better when they're in a car, looking the same way, talking to each other, or sitting on a bench.
That's interesting, yeah.
Or whatever.
That's probably true.
And we got a lot of talking, and I feel like I know a certain number of things about our boys that we've known, obviously, since they were born. I learned some new things about them
on
this trip.
Yeah, and I think that maybe you guys laugh more. We have these crazy sons who have watched all these old movies, and they have these phrases from these old movies, and have to do is say the phrase, and they all just burst out laughing. I don't know how that happened.
A couple of them laugh till they cry. And we didn't watch TV there. The place we were staying had a TV. We never turned it on. We were always gone until one day I stayed home part of the day to do some work I had to do, and I got done with it, and the boys weren't back yet, so I turned on this TV, and Netflix was on, and there was Happy Gilmore.
Oh, no.
And I thought, I'm just in the mood. I'll turn it on. And they came in halfway through it, and they hadn't seen it for 20 years or so, but they still remembered some of those crazy lines on there, and they got laughing, and, you know, can you have too much laughter? I mean, can it get a little crazy, or is it never enough?
No, they all live pretty serious lives in the real world, and so it's so great to laugh.
So what else would you say? What would you say to grandparents listening, or parents, or people in families, as whatever, whether the parents in the family or the children in the family? You know, everyone tries to do, almost everyone we know tries to do family gatherings or family reunions. Sometimes. But what would you say is the value of just the women or just the men getting together? Why is that an important distinction?
Well, I think it's important because it's a different world, a men's world and a women's world. And they see the world in different colored glasses. They see it totally differently. It just really is amazing that even though they love their kids the same, it's different. You know, it's just a different kind of thing. So it is really interesting. But I do have to say before we go to break that there are a lot of families when we talk about this, they're like, I could never do that. We have an in-law that just doesn't like anybody, and we just don't do it. And a friend came to me once and said, please tell me what I can do. I love my family so much, but we're drifting apart. And I just suggested that they're all readers. They're people who love books and talking about things like that.
I
said, just choose a book and then just meet at a restaurant and talk about the book. Make it in neutral territory so that you can just talk with each other with no, not at somebody's house or whatever, and just talk.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you're focused on an entity that's not personal to all of you, and you can just relax and learn from each other.
And get to know each other and learn one another. And we have to admit that our kids have some quirks, our in-laws have some quirks that we have to work
around.
We have
some quirks?
We don't have any quirks. We definitely have quirks. And I think that there's a gentle way to start this if you haven't done it before. To go from that. I mean, you know that we talk a lot about reunions and all these things which were coming up in just a couple of weeks here for us, but we realize that there's another end to that and that there are ways to get your family
and together. It doesn't have to be a big trip to Iceland or to Switzerland. It can,
right.
Like you say, it can be a dinner. And if you're ready in your family to get right down to brass tacks and talk about your own relationships and your own parenting and your own families, great. But it, like you say, if there's some friction in the family, pick a book or pick a subject, not politics,
not religion,
but
yeah.
Something that everyone can just, you know, feel on
really
safe
enjoy,
ground.
Yeah.
Because these are the relationships that matter. We'll take a little break and then we're going to go a little different direction in the second half. So stay with us.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back.
Now, Linda, we're going to have the surprise part of the show here in the second half.
Oh, no.
Because when I woke up this morning, we're in Park City, and it was about 7 o'clock, and you were sleeping like a baby. I did not want to disturb you, so I got up and went for a run up in these beautiful mountains. And when I got back, you were up and bushy-tailed, ready to go and so on. But I haven't told you what I thought about on my little run today.
Oh, no.
So why do you say, oh, no?
You've always got a new idea.
No, it's not so much a new idea. But as most of you listeners know, we're spending a lot of time lately thinking about and doing a class, an online class, on how to live the second half of life. And we're also, and I'll tie these together and then get your thoughts on it, Linda, we're also working on a book that we've mentioned a couple times on the show that is, I want to be real careful how I say this, it's a family autobiography. It's not a typical autobiography. We're not trying to write the history of our lives or Linda Iyer or Richard Iyer, that doesn't interest us very much. But what does interest us is a history of our family, a large family, how it developed, how it grew, and so on. And our publisher initially wanted to call it Funner by the Dozen. We're trying to work on a title.
Because that was hard because
he thinks there's a lot of intrigue with large families.
But that was hard because we don't really have a dozen.
Yeah, we only have 11, so, you know, we could have counted our semi-adopted kids and so on. But anyway, the point is we're working hard on this book, and I'm going to tell you how the book's organized, because that's going to allow me to get to the point that I haven't mentioned to you yet, and I need to get your reaction on it. So there's three sections in the book. The first, and they all start with P. Luckily, the first one is places, the second one is people, and the third one is purpose. And those three sections will each have a series of stories from the life of our family, some written by us, some written by our children, and they'll be chronological within those three sections. So in the first section, you'll be reading stories and they'll be chronologically based on where we lived at the time or where we were staying at the time or what expedition we were on at the time. It'll be based on place. Then the second group, the most important part of the book, people, stories about us, stories about our children, stories about each other, again, chronologically within that section. And then the third section, purpose, our career, what we've tried to do, what interests us, what we've tried to contribute and so on. And again, trying to find purpose in life. And those will be stories, again, arranged chronologically. Now, what occurred to me today, honey, while I was running, is because we're doing this course on the second half of life, and the most frequent question we get from people participating in the course, they say, well, what do you really mean by the second half of life? I mean, what is the big difference? Isn't life just a steady flow and you just flow all the way through it? Where's the break? Where's the, you know, what makes one half different from the other half, or what makes the latter part of life very different from the first part? And it occurred to me while I was running today that this book organization is a perfect way to explain it. Now think with me for just a minute. When you think about places in the first half of life, it's kind of like, well, how many places can we get to? How many countries can we visit? Do we want to live in a different place? Have we been here? Have we been there? We're expansive. We're trying to include more and more. We want to get to more and more places. And you, particularly, honey, would always say, we don't want to go back to the same place again, because every place we go back to on a vacation or a trip or whatever, it'll be one less new place we'll ever get to.
Well, I say that about restaurants, too.
Yeah.
But I must tell our listeners that we usually end up at the same restaurant because you like to go back to the same place.
Well, but see, now follow my point here.
Okay.
In the second half of life, where you're thinking, well, I have X amount of time left to live on this planet. Do I want to keep trying to find new places to see, or do I want to take whatever amount of time I have left and maximize the time I spend at the places I love the most? And it sort of turns it around. It's like, for every new place I go, it'll be that much less time I'll have in these very few beautiful places that I dearly love, and I want to put my time, remaining time, into the places I love the most.
That's very compelling, but
you still want to go to a few new ones.
You
I know
can see it. You can see we disagree a bit on a few things.
Well, let's see if we do on the people thing, because it gets more pronounced there. And again, think of this as a way to differentiate these two halves of life. In the first half, most of us are, we want to expand our contact list. We want to add to our Rolodex in the old days. Remember those Rolodexes?
I remember yours. I never had
we
one.
We want to have transactional relationships with more and more people. We want to add to our friends on Facebook. It's expansive. It's growing. I want to meet more people. Don't you think in the second half, you start thinking a little differently? And when I say second half, I mean the second half of the second half, right?
Where
we
are.
Yeah. You're thinking, well, I have a finite amount of time I left in my life. I would like to spend as much of it as possible with the people I love the most. See how the difference? So you're consolidating, you're simplifying,
yeah.
you're pulling back, you're making it more condensed. You're not on this, how many people can I know?
Yeah,
and meet?
So for so long, really. I mean, I did a blog for years, which I'm so grateful for, because it kept, yeah. We kept track of where we went, and we use it a lot as we go back. But and then I was on Facebook for a little while, and I've just cut down to just our family. There's just so much to take care of, and,
yeah.
And our friends we have book clubs, three different ones,
yeah.
And people that are really close to us. And you're right, and now is the time that we want to spend quality time with them. Not that we don't want any new friends, because we've made a lot of new friends in the last few years, because we've
sure.
made a move. But totally agree with that one.
Well, and again, we're not trying to be morbid here, but as you get into the second half of the second half of life, you have to become more aware. And you have to, you know, how much more time do I have? How many more years? And maybe you even set goals. I want to take care of my health because I want to live to be this old or whatever. I want to see all my grandkids grow up and so on. We think that way, but we're aware that there is a finite amount of time left. And we start sort of shifting that paradigm, where it's not about how many new friends I can make, or how many new people can I meet, or how many more contacts can I get. It's more about putting as much of my time with those who I really care about the most, right? So
right.
That's a paradigm shift. So you are more with it on the people thing than you are on the places thing.
Right.
But they're kind of the same. So let's shift to the third one, purpose. the stories in this book we're writing are about, you know, our careers or what we tried to do or what causes we embraced or what was meaningful to us. And I think in first half thinking, you want to try new things. Maybe you want to change jobs again. Maybe you want to try a career you haven't tried or get into a field that you've always wanted to get in or whatever. You're always, and I think that's healthy. You know, am I doing with my professional life the thing that's best, and maybe I should change it up, and the whole world is open to us. I think in the second half, the paradigm shift is, what is really the legacy I want to leave? What is the cause I want to embrace? What's the dearest thing to me, whether it's finishing this career or whether it's writing this book or whether it's embracing this cause that means a lot to me? We try to, again, consolidate, simplify, focus more on the things that really matter, even if it's at the expense of, oh, we're not trying all these new things like we were before.
Right. I do think that this purpose part is really going to be interesting because I've been working on it while you've been gone. And I'm thinking, you know, we moved our kids around a lot when they were young because we went back and forth to D.C. Several times. Yeah. And we had a home there and had a home here, and we thought, this is good because they'll have their friends here and their friends there. Well, as they got older, they didn't have so many friends. We went back to D.C. and we lived in a little town called McLean, a really big town now. but we put our two oldest boys in high school, a really very progressive, very academic high school. And one of them had dyslexia, which we didn't know. He was struggling, yeah. With that, and also basketball player. So he was sitting on the bench the whole time and then struggling with, oh man, I remember that being so hard. But my main thing in life is hard is good. Do hard things.
And they now look back on it as a great experience.
Yeah,
they blossomed and grew.
That kid learned so much. I mean, he sat by himself at lunch every day in that big high school and didn't play basketball, even though he'd been the star on the team here. But you know what he learned was how it feels to be lonely. And remember when you took him to BYU, the first day you were chatted with him in the big
cafeteria
there, and he said, Dad, I love you and everything, but I gotta go. I see somebody over there that's sitting alone. I think probably he needs
I know
a
how he feels.
And I know how he feels. So I think those lessons are so valuable. Our kids do go through hard things, but I just think hard is so good. So it's one of those things that hopefully we can portray that, and sometimes it doesn't work as well, and it's kind of destructive in some ways. So boy, it's a fine line, but it is interesting to know what we really want our kids to learn while they're with us.
And it helped me this morning to sort of define in my own mind this second half thinking, as we're calling it, where in the first half thinking, it's all about expanding, growing, getting bigger, reaching out, touching more things, being in more places, having more friends. And in the second half, I really love the two words, simplifying and consolidating, because now we can do that. Now we know we have our favorites. We have the things that really matter to us, and we're in a position to focus more of our effort on those things.
Yeah, and it's different for everyone. You know, some people adore crafting, and that is so great that they know what they love. And other people love other things, but you know, it's a process of our whole lives.
Yeah,
to try and
learning
out
what you really love and who you really
love
are
and who we are,
what you're really good at,
what
your gifts are.
Yeah.
So I did a little post on this for those of you that want to go a little further on it while I was in the mountains. And we haven't mentioned this on the show before, but if you are an Instagrammer or if you are on Instagram, and some of you are and some of you aren't, but you might go to Richard Iyer, HTL, which stands for How to Live. So it's just at Richard Iyer, HTL. And look at that post today, and it'll take this thought process in a little further direction. So, covered a lot today, a lot of interesting things going on, and we hope your life is in gear for the summer. We wish you all a great summer. We're glad you can pop in and visit with us every once in a while, or every week if you like, on Ayers on the Road.
So thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road. Bye-bye.